You start over again with name and...
Yeah, okay. Hi, this is VU2 Echo Sugar Echo. Handle is Farhan, and I'm here from India.
And you're the inventor of the BitX series.
Yeah, I happened to build the first one, but, you know, the BITX is essentially a work in progress. It's a bringing together of a number of circuits which are already in place. So I wouldn't really say that, you know, it's unusual circuit in any other way, but except that you make a couple of intelligence choices and put, you know, standard blocks of circuitry together, and you get a BITX.
And you're selling kits now.
Well, didn't want to sell kits, really, because BITX is 2004 vintage, right? So BITX is, you know, nearing, BITX is in its teens now. And we haven't sold any of these kits all these years. There were others who were selling these kits. But what had happened is that we arrived at this without, you know, trying to be here. 3 years ago, I was the convener for India's ham convention. And in that, we decided to slip in blank PCBs of BITX in the delegation kit as a gift. But a lot of people couldn't get it going, right? So, and a lot of them would write back to me saying that, you know, we don't know how to do it, etc. So I said, okay, let's have a workshop in which we'll all sit down and assemble the thing together. So then I had to organize the parts for them, the components and all that, placed orders, and we got into a hall one day and we decided to assemble it. Then I realized that, you know, many of them didn't even have the soldering skills to pull it off. So I said, okay, you know, this won't do. So we took some of those boards and we got them assembled somewhere else, and we thought that at least these people could, you know, tune it up. Mm-hmm. But what we realized is that the people we had got it assembled from had, you know, mixed up the components here and there. So, it wouldn't work either. So, you know, it was a series of refinements. And when I first, you know, got the final BITX out, we had just ordered 100 because it was essentially for friends to be given away, you know, etc. But, you know, people kept asking for more and more and more and more. And at some point, I pulled in my, Hassan, who's been with me in a lot of my businesses, and he was also retired like me. And I said, do you want to take a look at this and, you know, get this entire thing organized? So he was itching to do something. So he said, yeah, it looks interesting. So he, you know, then took over, then figured out, you know, how to get the components lined up, etc., etc. And the interesting thing is that we found that we could retrain these women who we had originally contracted to make the through-hole boards, mm-hmm. which didn't work, to at least be able to wind the components, put them inside, and do the testing. So we still have a bunch of probably 8-9 women who, you know, work full-time at putting these boards together, even after the SMD pick-and-place machine has placed all the components in place. So they get a little bit of money, you know, making this stuff. It doesn't take much of our time. We make twice a week trips to the post office to post these off. But really, the key was to not really make it into a business, because otherwise the cost would have escalated, right? So we've tried our hard to keep it a kitchen counter operation all through these months.
How many have you sold?
I would imagine that while I'm here, we would cross the 5,000 board mark.
That's quite a few.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we are now doing about 1,000 boards a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the there have been continual updates to the BITX?
Well, not to the circuit. One of the things, I mean, I was tempted to wade into it and change things around. But I also knew that people, there's a huge tribal knowledge, especially around the BITX20 group, which was the Yahoo group, and now it's the groups group, which knew the original BITX very well. And it was important to not, you know, radically modify any of that so that they could continue to roll with that. So which is why it's actually, it should be called the BITX Classic, because, you know, since then, Doug Hendricks took it up, and along with Arv Evans and Dan Talloy, they actually, you know, evolved it in one direction, and Sunil Lakhani did it in another direction. You know, Bill has himself done about 5-6 versions. So I just wanted to do the basic generic version from which people could take off and do their own thing. So which is why it's not modified at all. It's as close to the original as is possible. The only thing is now we have this digital board which, you know, sits on top of it, which provides you with digital tuning.
Ah, so you have, say, LED or LCD
readout? LCD display, yeah. We have an LCD display with a tuning knob, which is based on an SI5351. And even that's been, you know, I'm pretty happy. I mean, earlier we were shipping out the BITX, you know, for $50. And now for $59, no, that was, I think, $45. For $59, that is for $15 more, you actually have a full digitally synthesized board with tuning control, digital display, and all of that put together. So more than an electronic design, I think we were able to balance the cost versus functionality very well. So to that extent, I'm very happy, you know, $59, including postage, right? We are able to send this out to any part of the world. So that's actually the interesting part. I mean, I'm excited to see a lot of them going to Africa and, you know, other countries in Asia where this price really makes a huge difference.
$1,000 a month is like quite a success.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, what the figures of other kit manufacturers are, but yeah, I mean, we are happy. We're building them as fast as, you know, people want them.
Ah. Have you written any kind of, say, articles or even a long paper on how the circuit was designed, how it evolved?
Well, we do have, I mean, the original write-up is there on the website, which is...
On your website?
Yeah, on my website. So I have a fairly detailed one there. The history of it isn't there much, but how it works is there. So I didn't know whether people would be really interested in knowing, you know, the nitty-gritty and the solid details of how it came about. So we skipped those out, but it's a fairly detailed one. And I also believe that it's one of the most investigated transceivers of all times, because everybody has been at it, has been measuring, you know, parts of it, has been documenting parts of it. There's, I think his call sign is KC0WOX, Leonard. He has done a whole series of videos of waveforms of every stage of the transceiver to help people to help people to debug it or understand it. And that's actually become a fairly good resource. I mean, resources like that, right? For example, if someone is investigating diode mixers, you're sure to find diode mixers waveforms on the on internet, which are mostly, you know, from the BITX.
Oh, are there these on the website where you could have movies then?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So if you want to dig into it, you can.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any plans for future projects?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm always building one thing or the other, but there are two types of things I build. One is stuff that, you know, scratches my own itch. For example, I've been building phasing transceivers, but you know, these, they use esoteric components. You go through your junk box, you come out with something and you build it like that, or it's to scratch a personal itch. They are not reproducible, which is why I do not put them on the net, because people would try building it but they wouldn't get those parts, or the, you know, some adjustment might be very critical. So what I do put out are designs which are easy to build. So they are in between being a product, which is a complete thing, or just being a design, to being something that I think are easy to build,
mm-hmm.
and also live up to some performance expectations. So after BITX, for example, I did try the Minima transceiver, which has a really fabulous receiver. I'm really, you know, happy with that receiver, but the transmitter had too many spurious outputs, so I pulled it out and said, and you know, I told people not to build it because, you know, you'd require low pass filters, quite a few low pass filters before it could be usable. But now I've always wanted to build a multi-band transceiver, or rather give out a multi-band transceiver design that people would like. And so the micro BITX is that. It's an evolution of BITX, so we've made that into a dual conversion system with the first IF at 45 megahertz. So you don't have a huge bank of bandpass filters to make and align, which is really a challenge for ordinary builders. So this is a design that you can, you know, literally put together and switched on, and it will work the first time. And it's going to be a multi-band transceiver.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
And this is available now, or will be?
Not as a kit, but it's available publicly as a design. And I know of at least one person, I've forgotten his name, he wrote to me 2 days ago saying that, you know, I've already got the receiver going, it's a good receiver, and now I'm working on the transmitter. So what happens is, you know, you build something, then you allow first a couple of people to scratch build it, so that, you know, you figure out what happens if it's duplicated, and whether it's whether when you duplicate it, you get the same performance or not. And once you're convinced that that works properly, that's when you switch on, you know, this thing of making it into a kit, etc. And even this design, like the earlier designs, is an open source, so anyone can kit it. I mean, people don't have to wait for me to come out with a kit. But, you know, if there's sufficient interest, and right now I think there is, we might look for, you know, forward to a semi-assembled kit, quite similar to the BITX.
Okay, yeah. Sometime in the future, maybe a year, maybe half a year?
Less. I mean, you know, probably in about 3 to 4 months' time.
Wow, that's fast.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.